For a little time, I would like to turn your thoughts to the passage we read in Ezekiel chapter 37 and the words that we have in verse 3. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "O sovereign Lord, you alone know." But especially those words, "Son of man, can these bones live?" When was the last time you felt the challenge of God's word? When you knew without any shadow of a doubt that what was being read or what was being preached was reaching to your heart. You knew that God was speaking to you. Maybe that's a long time ago. Maybe it was just recent. Whatever your spiritual state is, I believe there were times when God would speak to your need and show to you how much you needed him and how he could bless you. As a believer, I'm sure there were times when you were aware of the Lord drawing very near to you and speaking to you through his word and reminding you either of his promises or of his commands and so on. When were you last challenged by God's word? I think Ezekiel had this great challenge from the Lord. He was challenged. And you know, when you read these verses, this is what the Lord is saying to him. Son of man, can these bones live? And there was Ezekiel in this valley, full of dry bones. The situation seemed hopeless and helpless. And the Lord is saying to him, can these bones live? What a challenge. And maybe a similar challenge has come to you. You've looked at a particular situation and you've thought to yourself, how hopeless and how helpless. And God is saying to you, can a change come about? The challenge of God's word. Now what I want us to do is to just remind ourselves that this is a vision of revival that God gave to Ezekiel, or that God enabled Ezekiel to see, a vision of revival. It was to encourage not only Ezekiel, it was to encourage the despondent Jews. It pointed forward to their restoration and to their, you could say, to the recovery of a dead nation. It was also a reminder, and as we read it, of the resurrection of the dead. But then it is an important reminder of the revival that only God can bring about. So what I want us to do is to look at a little at this passage and to see the problem that Ezekiel was made to see. And the first thing is this, the extent of the problem. The extent of the problem. And he is being able to see this valley full of dry bones. And we are told that he was led back and forth among them. He walks in and out amongst those dry bones. He is made to see the situation as it really is. These bones, soldiers that were slain. Now, that's very clear in verse 10. It's made clear that these were the bones of soldiers of the Jewish army. Now, there's a very interesting verse in Deuteronomy chapter 28. And this is what the Lord was saying to Israel, to the Jews. Chapter 28 of Deuteronomy, verse 25. The Lord will cause you to be defeated before your enemies. Your carcasses will be food for all the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth. and there will be no one to frighten them away. And Ezekiel is made to see the extent of the problem. And he's made to see how extreme the situation is. There was nothing that could be done. There was no promise of life. Humanly speaking, it was beyond hope. The extent of the problem. But then the second thing, the expectation of a recovery. And you see the test that was put to Ezekiel. Can these bones live? Now, as he heard that, that was a test. Can these bones live? In other words, God is saying to him, is it likely that these bones will live? What is the likelihood of now or in the future of these bones coming to life? Is it possible that life can come in to these bones? Can they return to life? That was the test that was given to Ezekiel. Can these bones live? But then, there's another thing that you notice, and that is Ezekiel's trust. And this is how he puts it. O sovereign Lord, you alone know. Only the Lord knew. And humanly speaking, nothing could happen. But the Lord knew. And Ezekiel's answer, it shows a complete trust in God. The all-knowing, the all-powerful, the almighty God. And Ezekiel realizes there is no earthly power that can bring life into these bones, but the one who is omnipotent, he is the one that is able to do that. And he had this belief, and he had this trust. You see, God was putting him to the test. Now that happens a lot through the word of God. You know, when in Malachi, God is saying, you know, bring all the tithes into the storehouse and prove me now, being put to the test. I'm sure there are times when you felt you were being put to the test. Well, that is what was happening to Ezekiel. It brought about the expectation of a recovery. The third thing that I want us to notice is the essence of a recovery. How was this recovery going to come about? How was it going to happen that life would come into these bones? Well, the first thing you notice is this. That man, Ezekiel, would deliver a message. Or put it another way, that he would preach. That's the essence of a recovery. That a man would deliver a message. So what you find is this. Ezekiel obeys. He preaches over these dead bones. He tells these dead bones what could happen. And he tells them that they can live. In other words, that they'll no longer be dead. I will cause breath to enter you and you shall live. He tells them that they can be liberated, which means that they're no more defeated. So that you may know that I am the Lord. Who would know? Not just Ezekiel, but others. Themselves. These dead bones, when they would come to life, they would know. Or put it another way. Concerning these dead bones, tell others about them. Tell them about the life that God can bring about. That is something that should encourage us. The Lord who has blessed in so many lives is still the same and is able to bless in lots of other lives. So, the essence of this recovery, yes, a man would proclaim the word of God. But the second thing is this, God would do the rest. Now that's an interesting thought. We are reminded in God's word, Paul may plant, that is, sow the seed. Apollos might water, you water the seed that is sown through the preaching of God's word by your prayers, by your tears. Paul may plant, Apollos water. God gives the increase. And that is what he's being reminded of here. That God had the power. God was telling Ezekiel, this is what you have to say. In other words, proclaim the word of God. And then God is saying, I will bring life from these dead bones. The same today. God is saying to every preacher of the gospel, this is what you must say. Preach the gospel. And then God is saying, I will do the rest. And he says, I will lay sinews upon you and I will bring up flesh upon you and so on. Now, he's telling him what is going to happen. He's telling him what he has to do. And he's saying to them that the Lord, who is almighty and all powerful, is going to bring about this recovery. So you have the evidence of a recovery. That man would preach. And that God would perform. Or that God would do the rest. That's the encouragement that we have. It's not just to a preacher. It's to everyone who is a witness of the gospel. As you let your light shine, then you have this assurance. God is able to do what he has promised. That he can bless us and make us a blessing. The fourth thing that I want us to notice is the evidence of this recovery. God is showing to him the extent of the problem. God is giving to him this expectation. Life can come. God is telling him what needs to happen, the essence of this recovery. And Ezekiel goes along with it, he does all that God is saying, then you have the evidence of a recovery. He was told, he did what he was told to do, and things began to happen. Now, there are two things I want us to notice. The best word that I'm going to use is there was a commotion. You know what a commotion is? We are told that there was the sound of a shaking. There was the evidence that something was happening. All these bones were coming together. There was a commotion, a clattering. There was a noise. Something was happening. God was at work. God was moving. His power was the power that was working in this situation. The evidence, a commotion. There was the evidence that God was at work. I want to pause there for a moment. What evidences should we look for? If God is working in our congregation, in your congregation, if God is working in your community, what is the evidence that you'd look for? Well, the first thing is this. Praying becomes more important. Not just praying on your own, praying with others. Not just praying at home, but praying in the hall. Praying becomes important. Not just the ones, not just the congregation, maybe the two or three, praying together. That's an evidence that God is at work. when people begin to pray. Then, a second thing. Yes, prayer becomes more important, but passion becomes more intensified. By that I mean, you'll have a greater love. A greater love for the people of the Lord. A greater love for those who are outside of the kingdom. But especially, a greater love for the Lord. Passion becomes more intensified. But also, piety, holiness is increased. The people of God become better people. Piety, holy, where you can't point a finger at anything they do or say. But then also, people become interested. When God is blessing his church, when God's people are living the lives they should live, when God's people are praying, when they're showing that love, then people, those round about, become more interested. What's going on there? What's happening? There is something going on. There is something that is different. And you can put it like this. There is something that is attractive. But then also, another evidence you would look for is this. Preaching makes an impact. When God is blessing, when his people are praying, when his people are living the lives that they should live, then the preaching begins to have an impact. Or it'll have an impact in the lives of the believers. But also it will have an impact in the lives of those who are still outside of Christ. So the evidence of a recovery, a commotion. You see, when God brings about blessing, when he brings about a revival within a congregation or within a situation, you could put it like this. There's a commotion. There's a noise. Things are happening. Maybe they didn't happen before, but things are happening. But then, a second thing is this. Not just a commotion, but a coming together. Everything came together. Everything fitted into place. There was nothing out of place. All was in order. We are told how the bones came together, bone to its bone. There wasn't a mistake there. The muscle, the tendons, the flesh came upon all these bones as they ought to. There was this coming together, an order. God was in control. And that is something we must always keep before us. When God is at work, then it'll be according to God's order. And God would never sanction, or God would never ask us to do anything that goes contrary to his word. So, the evidence of a recovery. Yes, there'll be a movement, a commotion. But there'll also be a coming together. And order. The last thing that I want us to notice, the extent of this recovery. The extent of the recovery. Notice four simple thoughts. They came alive. No longer dead. Now, that's what Paul reminds us. We were once dead in trespasses and in sin. If we're believers, we're made alive in Christ. No longer dead spiritually. They came alive. But also, they became aware that they had life. I believe. believe that when God works in a life and they're born again by God's Spirit, then sooner or later they become aware of this. God has blessed me. God has worked in my life. And I put it like this, sooner or later, you're aware of this. Attitudes change. Affections change. Actions change. Things that you once did that you no longer do. Things that you never did before, you do now. You become aware. Aware that you're living spiritually. You have this confirmation. Or you have this assurance. God has blessed me. So that was the extent. You could say, yes, they came alive. They became aware that they had life, but also that they had the ability given to them to stand and to support themselves. The ability. Who gave that to them? God. You know, sometimes we say, oh, I could never do that. I could never, what some folks say, I could never come to the Lord's table. I could never be a witness out in the world. It's God that gives us the strength. It's God that gives us the ability to do what He has declared in His Word. But then, the fourth thing is this. They were like an army. A show of strength. Strong to their enemies, but also a sense of unity. That's what it was. Now, when you think of this, the extent of this recovery, then you can take these four things. You become alive. People become alive spiritually. The Lord's people, when they come alive, and when they are alive, they become aware that they have life, spiritual life. That they have the ability to do what God is saying to them. Like an army, united in the name of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Remember the words in Psalm 133. Where the brethren dwell together in unity, there the Lord commands a blessing. So when you think of this passage, it's there to encourage you. Not to make you despondent, not to have you defeated. It's there to encourage you. What God is showing to us here, He's able to do in the lives of others. And there is one other thing that you should always remember. There is no situation beyond the power of God. You might be looking at an individual and say, there's no hope. You might be looking at a situation and you might say, spiritually, there's no hope. There is no situation that is beyond the power of God. Is God challenging you through His Word? Is God saying to you today, maybe about an individual, maybe about the situation within yourselves here, can these bones live? Can a revival, can a recovery come about? What do you say? Lord, you know that it can happen. Help me to trust more. Amen.